Johnny Hodges on alto sax, Wild Bill Davis on organ, Lawrence Brown on trombone, Grant Green on guitar, Bob Cranshaw on double bass, and Grady Tate on drums with Joe's Blues, the title track of Hodges and Davis's shared 1965 album. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and let's get started. Today, we're talking about the state of disunion. Yes, yes, indeed. Now, you can take that word to be a take on this union, or you could take it for what it is, disunion, meaning a fragmented society. When he addressed Congress and the nation last year, Donald Trump was fresh from his inauguration as the 45th president of the United States, and he was just 5 weeks on the job. So he didn't have very much to report to the nation about on the State of the Union. His State of the Union then, therefore, focused more on campaign themes that he'd been running around extolling in pursuit of making America great again. And about the challenges ahead, he was able to talk more about that or point more toward that angle than about any accomplishments. There weren't very much in the way of accomplishments to talk about. But tomorrow, when Trump delivers his first real State of the Union message, that would be at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the man at the podium will not be the brash, self-proclaimed fixer of broken systems, but a badly bruised survivor of a tumultuous, chaotic year. So much in this past year went wrong so fast, and much of it of Trump's own making. Of course, Trump won't claim responsibility or blame for any of the year's monumental errors and wrong-headed decisions in domestic and foreign policy, but that doesn't mean he and his administration will get away with it. At least I hope so. So today, we will hear from you. You will take preemptive action and let us in on what is the State of the Union 1 year into Donald Trump's administration. So it is the state of disunion. The State of Disunion 2018. Now, what is the task today? The task is, you will tell us, from your perspective, what happened in this year of Trump's administration, the year of President 45. What would you believe he has to boast about in the way of progress with regard to his campaign promise to, quote, make America great again? And it's not all about dumping on Trump, although you just can't avoid it. It's like the big monster in the room. But might there be, from your point of view, anything, might there be something that you can point to that, in fact, the nation ought to know about in a positive vein, that this president managed to achieve in the past year? So this is our State of the Union address, in a way. We are putting together our composite view of the Trump administration, good and bad, although I suspect the scales would be slightly, uneven. But let's proceed anyway and put on your analytical hats and tell us what, if you were to be reporting, just dispassionately reporting in a very clinical way, what happened in this last year? How do you see the Trump administration? He did, like I said, in his first so-called State of the Union address, there was really nothing that he could report. He was just on the job. But this is a whole year later. And what do you think he might report? What do you think we ought to know? Which are two entirely different things. 888-874-4888. We've been talking ab about the Trump administration nonstop since he came into office, covering all kinds of angles about it. Well, let's do a preemptive move here and kind of place ourselves in the environment of tomorrow night at 9 p.m. What do you expect him to say that he has accomplished? What do you say against that? When I say against it, I mean, what do you say about that? Those things. 888-874-4888. Now, remember, I always caution that whenever you listen to a speech, the most important thing for the speaker and certainly those who are listening to the speech is to pay attention to the environment of the speech. And we will learn a lot about Donald Trump's interpretation of the environment of his speech. How he interprets it, we don't know. We will have to wait and see. But you certainly have an appreciation for the environment of the speech. Will that, in fact, influence what he will say or what you will think? Okay. So we go to Florida first. Tony, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Lutrice. I want to thank you for taking my call.
Thank you so much, Tony, for calling in. What have you to say?
I would say that, well, first of all, I'm a new listener. I just started listening to your program about a week ago.
Oh, great.
And I was, for, I would say, the longest a registered Republican. I would have to say that the Trump administration has opened my eyes and somehow miraculously pushed me to your direction. And I'm now actually seeing that the two-party system is, it's all a sham. And if anything, the Trump administration, because I truly believe he's not, he was a true outsider. But and that he was not supposed to be in there because Hillary Clinton, she was the queen and she was to be anointed, but so that they can keep all of this corruption under wraps. Because I'm telling you, between the media and these politicians, they have been able to keep everybody at bay while they just, swim in this huge corruption. And Trump has brought that to light. Now, he now is part of that corruption.
Oh.
So, I'm not going to give him credit for not, exposing it and then doing something about it, But I do believe that just like how when President Barack Obama was elected president, that brought out the racists, and I would say that Trump has exposed a lot of most, I would say, a lot of the corruption in the United States when in regards to as far as our government.
Okay, I appreciate that point of view. Here's what I want to ask you, though. As the president, Okay, because we are evaluating the performance of the president. How would you say the president has performed with respect to what you anticipated his understanding of his office would be? How has the president performed with respect to that?
Well, I will say it's twofold. The way he was supposed to perform as far as the way things are done in Washington, he's performed poorly. Now, as far as pushing an agenda because each political party has their bullet points, of the accomplishments that they want to push forward. As far as the agenda that his particular base, is going for, I would say he's done a really good job, as far as the tax cuts, their xenophobic immigration policies. They're doing a great job at that, and that's what they want. He's doing a good job as sticking to the points and pushing his basis wants. His party, it took about a good more than half of last year to get on board with him because they thought that, traditional, the way things normally runs in Washington was going to just swallow him up. And he's been really resilient at fighting back, not only at the press, but fighting back against Washington as far as keeping his job, because he, with all that pressure that they put on him, any other politician would have been out of there a long time ago.
Well, I see your point, and it's a really interesting insight that you're presenting here, that even though you recognize that he has kept the faith with his political base, you also have problems with the state of affairs with respect to the party and his relationship with the party. And in turn, the party's relationship with people like you, who used to be pretty tight with the power structure, but now you have changed. How do you reconcile that? That's a very fascinating duality that you're presenting us today.
Well, I mean, like I said, the government used to do a really good job at keeping people, throwing bones at them, as one caller had mentioned a week ago. They're really great at throwing bones to people to keep them happy, while they do their dirty little work behind closed doors. And I was one of those people, happy and content, and going about my business, thinking that there's a certain set of rules, a certain type of system, and as long as you abide by those rules and play by the system, you'll be okay, and everything is fine and dandy. Trump has exposed a lot of the deep state corruption in this country, and that is very frightening. And but like I said, I was one of those people that was content with the way things were going. And and it's just scary because at the same time he's exposed how corrupt they are, but at the same time he has tapped into a lot of frustrations that are not necessarily that good, because it resembles the Nazi times during during World War II, with how people were just brainwashed, and they're very xenophobic back then. There's a video going viral right now on YouTube. It's a public service announcement. It was an anti-fascist video. It's a perfect illustration of how, these xenophobic people just divide the government. I mean, the people. They And that's what, all these census records and all, they're good at conquering, dividing us, and we are content, being divided. And that's why, that's my situation. I was content, but now, it seems like I'm opening my eyes, and it's comforting to hear you on the radio, because I'm not alone in this, So I appreciate you being on the
Well,
radio and, you
Tony,
know.
I gotta tell you, I am so delighted to hear from you and so happy that you're starting us off today because you know what I'm getting from you more than anything else is the fact that you are looking at the reality of things and making sense of it in your own way. And that it is about the best kind of political consciousness raising that anybody could hope for. That nobody's telling you what to think, nobody's telling you what to believe, but you are putting the pieces together for yourself and you're well on your way. You're well on your way. You are not an easy target. And that is great news. Thank you so much for calling in and thank you for getting us started today. I really appreciate your call. From South Carolina, Khalil, you're on the air.
Oh, good afternoon. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Khalil, how are you?
I'm good. I enjoyed that last call. It's nice to hear
Me
the
too.
caller.
Me too.
And he was honest, and yeah, I don't hear that much, you know. Not honesty, but more either both honesty and people who have switched affiliations. So that was good to hear. But I would say that I see the performance of the president pretty much as I expected, except worse. I did expect the rise in hate crimes, because that was predictable by history. I expect a rise in white supremacy. I did expect incompetence, because that's who he is. I did expect for him to hire competent people. I really didn't expect for him to hire people who were antithetical to the positions that they were appointed to. And not only that, unqualified people. It was almost like it's a reverse affirmative action for Caucasian folks. And I'm not trying to be pushing anybody's buttons. I'm just stating it as I see it. 'Cause, and the one black person who stood out, who has a big cabinet position, he has no experience. Dr. Carson in HUD. You know, in other words, in a position like that, the main thing is the budget. I would think you had to be a good budget person and know something about housing, which he knows nothing about either one. It's almost like, well, you're a black guy, I'm gonna put you in head of the project. You know, public housing. That's how it appears. And then when you look at the general picture of the president and how he presents himself, in my mind, it fits that way. Now, and I did not expect this total chaos and the degrading of our standing on the international stage. Yeah, I did not expect that. Yeah, because it appears that it's going to take many years, maybe, to get to where we're supposed to be. And one thing I'm worried about is the packing of the federal courts with very questionable judges, because that's the thing that lingers. Now, a presidency is a part-time position, really. I mean, you were there for the most 8 years, and you're gone. But when you start appointing people who competent judges. I mean, judges who have never tried a case at the federal level, you're going to appoint someone like that?
Yeah.
I mean, what do? You give them a how-to book when they get hired? I mean, the clerks, that's just so outrageous. I mean, that's a comedy skit, honestly. That's a comedy skit. Can you imagine a person of color being put into, they say, hey, you want to be a judge? I see you on the corner with a 40 and a blunt. Would you like to be a judge? Come on. You know,
Do you feel, because in a way, this is what I get from you, that you expected, for some reason, you expected Trump to be immune or to be above the standard order because he came in as a whirlwind and a whirlwind of change. But then the things that you are checking off about what disturbs you Do you think that the president has any reason to believe that he is seen in the eyes of the people as a competent leader, as a person who inspires confidence in leadership? And these things, these two things in particular, being the best and strongest pillars of a confidence that we ought to have in our leadership, and the absence of these things provokes a crisis in confidence.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you touched on that point. And that's one of the more frightening aspects is that, and I think you predicted this, actually. Well, if you really look at the presidency, it seems, my observation would be that we have a military people who are running the country now between Kelly and McMaster. And agree with them or not, it appears that Kelly is the gatekeeper. He's the chief of staff. McMaster handles the military. And when you have those type of glasses on, that's how you see the world, you know, things through a military lens. I mean, we have no diplomats anymore. It decimated the State Department, which leaves very few options for solving international problems. You have no State Department, and you don't trust the CIA. So when people question maybe this Russia thing, I would say it's more conspiracy and collusion. It doesn't have a legal – that means nothing. Collusion is just a term. It means nothing legally. So it's conspiracy. But you see, he has – if he's not a Russian agent, he is certainly acting as one and being successful as a Russian agent who was sent here or is here doing the bidding to – make our country weaker. Okay.
So how does Trump, given what you have outlined, A, does Trump have the capacity or should he have the capacity to turn this around? Do you think there's something, some way that he can tackle all these things that you have pointed out, but essentially leading to the bottom line of a critical loss of confidence in the leadership of this country?
No. There's no...
You don't expect him to do it.
No, he won't have time, and it's going to get worse. No.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. A great analysis. Thank you so much for that. Maat from New York, you're on the air.
Yes. Hi, greetings to the beloved family. This is the type of program I have to listen to again. But it's hard to know what's really going on in this respect. When you have, you know, when he has help with his tweets, right? And in one tweet recently where he was trying to say past, P-A-S-S-E-D, and he said P-A-S-T. We have to look at a situation that this is someone who, I think you said there's a YouTube where he's bragging about not reading, and it's so evident. So the question is what is really going on? I'm thinking about something that Daniel Estulin said, who is the done a lot of work around the Bilderberg Group and more recently transhumanism. And in reference to who really runs things, he was saying, and he didn't flesh it out, but he was on a radio program about a year and a half ago, and he was saying that Trump represented the Rothschild wing of what's really going on. And to me, that might mean that the interest, particularly the money interest and how the federal central bank system works, is that maybe the agenda is to take the U.S. down so that the two or three countries that have held back in terms of a central banking system, in other words, moving us rapidly toward a one world government.
I want to guide you back to the nut of the question today, which is your estimation, your personal estimation of where things have gone in the space of 1 year, your initial assessment of President Trump and his ability and capacity to mount an effective counteroffensive to whatever it was that he felt was out of order. And here we are a year later. What is the state of affairs, in your view, based strictly on what Trump presented as his ability to get certain things done, his capacity for leadership, and so forth, and where we are today? If you were to be reporting and analyzing his State of the Union address, what would you be listening for as Trump's claim of progress on all these fronts that he had iterated under the Make America Great Again campaign, and where, in fact, we are today?
Well, I will probably be listening on some level, but I start out with the premise that he has an S-hole mind, mouth, and agenda. So is that simple?
Is that simple for you?
Is that simple?
Do you have any reason to be hopeful that maybe he didn't do the right thing in the first year and in this year, past year, but you have a sense that it is possible that things can be turned around? He could surprise everybody and really, you know, reorganize himself, his thinking, his agenda, and becoming more in line with people's expectations.
I've been following the Russian and the money laundering.
I didn't expect a one-word answer.
And we'll see what happens, but I'm recently reading a book called Collusion about the Russian. Remember when he declared the six bankruptcies and the Sun bragged about it? They had to go to Russia to get funding, and so much has come out. So I have some hope. The FBI, I'm not impressed with. They're the one in charge of enforcing civil rights, if you can believe that. And that doesn't happen. But let's see, you know what I mean? I'm holding out for Mueller. But Pence is no answer, though, if it winds up with Pence or McConnell. So we'll see.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
But that was a very succinct answer. The answer was no. Okay. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice.
Hello. Good afternoon to you, David.
Yes, thank you very much. You know, I'm seeing things a little differently. There was a comment made about judges and whatnot. You don't have to have been a judge to get appointed as a federal judge. And, you know, if you think that this is going to be appointments at the presidential level of so-called people who are qualified, that doesn't register with me, because I believe that whatever appointments a person like President Trump makes are people who are in harmony with the basic mission of his administration. Now, this is the way I look at that. The masses of people, who some of them who vote and are part of his so-called base, he's doing things to kind of please them, attacking the designated people who they don't like immigrants or Mexicans or whatnot. That's on one level, and that pleases them, and many of them are satisfied by his things like putting in a factory or opening back up a coal mine or something like that. And that's on one level. The other level is the ruling class, the oligarchs at the top. He's doing what's necessary to satisfy them. So he's working at two levels, with one for the ordinary people and one for the ruling class, who are really his group of supervisors, and doing the things that they want, like the bogus tax improvement law that he got passed, and deregulation of many things that were put into place in previous administration to make it easier for them to make money. So Mr. Trump is working on a number of levels. So when he goes to the Congress and sits before his choir, most of his supporters are in the Congress there, the majority, they're going to be applauding. I guess if they don't applaud, they'll be in the position of some of the people that didn't applaud for Kim Jong-un, who are no longer with the world. So the point is that we've got to understand the most important thing, the most important thing about Donald J. Trump is that he is accomplishing the mission, I hate to be redundant, but there's a mission here, and the mission is to enrich the ruling class more and more. And he's accomplishing this, no matter how crude he is and bad manners and the things that he does that are so crude and rude that people seem to be concentrating on that. But he is accomplishing the mission. He's putting the ruling class, the oligarchs, and their supporters, the military people that he is putting in place, and doing the type of things to enrich the people at the top. So we got to get that to our head.
David, let's go back to what Tony from Florida, who started the program today, said.
Right.
And what he said is that despite all the things that you have just enumerated, and they're right on point, Trump nonetheless has managed to alienate people like Tony from Florida, who heretofore were very much in the Republican camp and in the Trump camp. But something has happened even within Trump's base that is alienating these supporters. Do you think that enough of them would be so alienated by Trump's performance in this past year that they now will pose a threat to any sense of security that the Republican Party may have and Trump himself may have about longevity in office?
Well, that's quite possible, but I think I believe the masses of them will hang in with Trump. I just don't believe. I heard Tony's comment, and it was good, and it shows that he's really come together and doing a analysis that we always talk about. But, you know, most people, I don't think, do that. So a lot of people are going to hang with him, at least for this next election round, I believe. They're not just going to abandon him all of a sudden. Where are they going? So they're going to hang in. And that's what I believe. So what I'm saying is that people have to do what you've been teaching, and people who are really on the ball teach. We have to do a system analysis, forget about all those distractions that Trump is coming up with about immigration and walls and all that kind of stuff, and concentrate on the real enemy, which is that ruling class that is accomplishing its goal and laughing as they go to the bank by enriching themselves more and more. And Trump is still helping them no matter what he says. It is crude and rude. He is doing that. And that goal that they have is being accomplished. They've thrown out a couple bones to the working class and the people below, but the goal is still there, and Trump is accomplishing that for them. So that ruling class, who really run the politics, they decide on the candidates, and they do everything they can at whatever level, national, state, and local, to keep in power. I think they still got the upper hand, and they're winning, and the rest of us are losing.
Well, thank you. A great analysis. Thanks so much. Ali from New York, you're on the air. How are you?
How you doing, you trees?
Okay. How's by you?
Well, we're here. We're out in New York. What can I tell you?
Okay. So as you listen, I think you might be listening to the State of the Union address. What are you listening for, and what are you going to rate it against in terms of your own understanding of the Trump administration and the president himself?
The only way that I will listen to that is if you play it, because I have to tell you, I really don't have to listen to him, really. I don't have to listen to that garbage that he's going to be talking about. There is no need, unless you put us through that misery, or listen to it. And then...
Okay.
Yeah. But I did miss the first half of the show, and I just grabbed the question a little bit that you just asked, and I think it was with, before David, and I just listened to the question a little bit, and I needed to call and tell you. And have an analysis about his first year. You see, I don't think things they're going to get better. And even if it's some people, they come out from that train that is wrecked and it's taken all of us down. I'm talking about his supporters and us behind them. I don't think anything will change. I think they're going to go the same way, because if you take a look, when he signed the all those Republicans were behind him when they was signing this thing with the tax bill. And that's what one of the things that they really wanted to put through, and it went through. And you see all these smiling faces behind him. And you see Paul Ryan and you see Pence right behind him, one next to him and the other one right behind. That gives you the idea what will happen in this country, and it will continue to happen. It's going to continue happening. And another thing is, listen, one of the things about that he's trying to do is with about this immigration bill. And being that this country is so racist, if this thing goes through the way that he wants it, I don't think his supporters, maybe a few of them, will come out from that train, but the rest of them, they will stay on that train. Remember, they don't want to do anything for the dreamers, and they're talking about these 12 million people that they are in this country illegally, and even the Democrats, I think they are on that train with him. And that is how I see it. I don't think things gonna change. This is a bill that if they get through, it's about racism all over. And we've seen this all over in this country. I mean, and then look another thing. He has somebody in the education department. She's going to continue doing what she wants to do. It's a privatization of the school system. You go to what he wants to do now with the solar panel, that he's putting these tariffs for these things to come here. And you know what? All these things is progressing. And then the system, the election system in this country is rigged. It's completely rigged. So how do we think that things are going to change? I think the Republican for 2018, I see them winning again, but it doesn't matter. The system is rigged with both of them, Democrats and Republicans, both of them. It's almost the same thing. The Democrats, they give it to you with a bottle of wine, but the other one, they give it to you in a sour glass. But it's the same thing. The system is rigged.
Well, I'm laughing because of the way you put things, and there's no questioning as to what you mean. It is really incredible the way you put things. But let me ask, with all this said, and so far it is overwhelmingly against Trump at this point, is there anything this president, in your view, can do or say to basically persuade you that he is not a hostage to what David calls the oligarchy?
Look what his father did in Queens with the real estate. Look what he did there. Do you think this man's mentality is going to change? Everything is about money. I just read an article about what is happening in that hotel in D.C. and how he's making money. The promise that he made that he will take the profit out of that hotel and give it back to the government. And the government's still waiting for that money. Do you think really with the people that he have put in each cabinet? I mean, you're talking about Pence. You're talking about Jeff's section. You're talking about divorce. I mean, do you think things really going to change? All these people are millionaires like him. That's why the Democrats, they couldn't fight the tax bill because they themselves going to be beneficiary of that bill. Why can't it change? It's about money. All around the world, it's about money. Only people that they have money. Look what's happening in Brazil. This man Lula, because he's not part of the elite class, now they even increase his sentence to put him in jail. And this is what is happening all around. So do you think it's about money? It's about the greed of these people. I don't think there is any hope right now. I mean, I'm still out on the street fighting. But sometimes it's like you open your eyes and you think, where are we going? Mm-hmm. And I don't think we're going to a good place right now. No, I don't have no hope with him. He's sarcastic. He's a very sarcastic man. He insults us, people of color, and we have to survive all this insult, calling people this country. Do you know why those countries, they are in that situation that he called the, you know, the hole? It's because the United States government. If they didn't interfere on those situations, those countries, they would be fine, especially countries in Africa that they have natural resources. No, it's about money, and he's one of them.
Well, thank you. Always thank enlightening, you. Listening to your point of view, and today was no exception. Thanks a lot, Ali, for your call. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrice. How are you?
Okay. How's by you?
I am deeply troubled today, and I just wanted to get on the conversation because I did not expect anything from Trump except for the way he is behaving, because Trump is a mafioso from a long time ago. This is not new. As a matter of fact, years ago, he could have been arrested for money laundering, and the FBI or whoever it is chose to look the other way. So I guess I'm not in the slightest bit surprised by what he's done. I am deeply concerned by what he's done. I think it's unbelievable how anybody could be pro-pollution, but he's pro-pollution. So he wants us to have more pollution, and the thieves at Wall Street are loving this because the more deregulated we become, the easier it is to come in and just, you know, destroy everything. And these things are not things we can get back again. So I'm not surprised. I think we're going to get more truth tonight after he speaks when his girlfriend goes on. Chris Kim.
I'm sorry.
Both of the speeches are on tomorrow, and they're both speeches. She's going to do a speech too, and I'm more interested to hear what she has to say than what he has to say, because I'm already living what he's living. But what I wanted to inject into the conversation is that as much as I hear people on the left talk about how horrible he is, and he is horrible, we are also having people that are being super hypocritical. I hear people going to marches and rallies and telling us we're speaking up for the poor, especially, myself in my own church, where, you know, I found out my own church is giving $17 million to a ride on UBS. Now, UBS is a totally criminal company that's on Wall Street. And I would think that if you were really caring about the poor or the disadvantaged or the people that are, you know, homeless and the warring countries, as a church, you as a Christian, you would have to look and say, we cannot put our money on Wall Street, because isn't it Wall Street that's responsible for all these wars and this capitalistic craziness all over the world? It's like, you know, we have all these good Christians lining up to put their money in the dole. And yet I heard at my own church yesterday how thrilled they were about the stock market being so high right now. So every week we hear the minister tell us how bad Trump is, and yet we're okay with cashing in on it. And why I bring this up is because I hear a lot of people talk about this one particular thing, this president, or just isolating incidents or isolating politicians. But the fact of the matter is that until we look into ourselves and regauge our own behavior and ask ourselves, you know, do you want to play Wall Street? Well, when you're playing Wall Street, know what you're playing for. Then I think things are just going to keep going the same way as they're going. I don't really see a big difference. I mean, I do think he'll get another 4 years. I think his base is thrilled that no matter what kind of slings and arrows they toss at him, he's catching them. And guess what?
Well, we see the same contradictions in the progressive community.
That's exactly what I just said. I'm sorry. My church is a so-called progressive church.
How is it possible that Hillary Clinton gets a free pass and gets, you know, cleaned up,
right,
and is welcomed into the arms of the progressive community?
Right.
How is that possible?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I know that I got a lot of crap from a lot of people because I had actually written a letter that I put in every single project of my district. Why did I do it? Because I felt the people that live there ought to know the reason why so many black people are in jail. I wanted them to understand how this all happened, because a lot of people, once somebody is passed, just forget about the past itself. They don't remember when these bills were signed. They don't remember about NAFTA. I mean, I went to New London, Connecticut. I went to Camden, New Jersey. I saw places that were crushed to death because of NAFTA and GATT. I mean, crushed to death. And they will never recuperate again. And there's just no way I could have voted for her, because these were things that they personally sat down and wrote out and signed off on. And that's my problem, too, with, you know, people that call themselves progressive. It's like, well, we're progressive, but just to a point, because when the money starts rolling in, then we're not progressive anymore. And I got to tell you something, Yatrice. I'm an activist, and you don't have to pay me to go be an activist. And all of my things that I have done, I didn't incorporate them as not-for-profits. Because once the money gets involved, then it seems to me the true mission is gone. So let me ask you this question.
Tomorrow the president makes his case, of course, that he has done a lot and accomplished a lot. It's typical. We've gotten some momentum in the direction that I promised I will go in. We certainly haven't accomplished everything, but I'm well on my way. Do you expect that the president will basically indicate that he has fallen short in any way?
No freaking way! Are you kidding me? God, look, this man, look, before everything else,
look,
before
I
everything
else,
he is a malignant narcissist. That is the first thing he is. He's a malignant narcissist. He's a wannabe mafioso guy, okay? There's no way. Did you see him strut around Davos and how the kings and queens of Wall Street bowed to him? Give me a break. No way. He would have had to have a personality transplant by tomorrow. No. He's going to stand up there and tell you he is so great that there's never been anybody in the whole world like him. I mean, he's going to, and it's all going to be a pack of lies because he's also a pathological liar. He cannot help himself. This is what's unbelievable to me about America, that no matter how you feel about this guy, how can it be okay? I hate lying, but how can it be okay for the president of the United States to be a pathological liar? How is that okay? Well, and everybody goes with it. But it just goes to show you how pliable and sheepish we are. We are nothing but a herd of sheep in this country. Sheep.
Well, we have to leave it there for the moment because we're out of time. Thank you very much for your spirited analysis today. Thanks a lot, Gwen. Coming up next, Meditations and Molotovs with Vincent Emanuele. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. And I thank you for the profound analyses that you have put forward today. And we would do well to take heed of what it is you said today. Thanks so much. Let's see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.